Welcome to the Swiss Cyber Security Days Talk. Shaping Cyber Resilience. The enormous threat from cyberspace is a reflection of our weaknesses and the result of our failures. Education and enlightenment are part of the digital equation and key to success. Because cybersecurity is much more than an IT issue and can only be achieved through solidarity-based cooperation. We talk to experts about current topics and provide inspiration. My name is Carolina Hinrichsen, and today I speak with Professor Dr. Mark Peter, Head of Center for Digital Transformation at the University of Applied Science and Arts Northwestern Switzerland, FHNW, Joël Mezeau, President of ETH Zurich, Professor Dr. Thomas Zubuchen, Head of ETH Zurich Space, and Dr. Sebastian Kloss, Head of Consumer Technology, AR, VR, and Metaverse at Bitkom. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the Swiss Cybersecurity Day Talk.
Hello.
I'm very happy to have you here in our podcast lounge today. You've been coming right from stage. And I would like to ask you, just related on what you've been doing some minutes ago, a very simple question. It's not simple, actually, but it's a short question. How big, secure, and complex is Swiss cyberspace?
Yes, we just came from stage. We had an amazing audience and we presented the state of the Swiss cyberspace. It is a holistic scan of every device that is connected to the public internet in Switzerland. And with that project, we measured the public national digital attack surface. So we identified what a cyber criminal organization or a nation state could see if they would target Switzerland for cyber attacks.
And what is your biggest learning out of that talk?
Well, the biggest learning from our research project foremost is that Switzerland has many known and documented vulnerabilities. So whenever a hacker identifies a vulnerability, a weakness in a computer system, they can register that with an organization and they receive a unique identifier number. Like a book has an ISBN, it's the same thing for a vulnerability. And we identified 2.5 million potential vulnerabilities, potential because we didn't exploit anything. We only measured software versions, open ports. What do we see if we scan the Swiss internet? And 2.5 million potential vulnerabilities, that is simply too much. Out of the 2.5 million, over 1 million are critical vulnerabilities. That means they have a CVSS score of 8 or higher.
Whoa, that's massive. How do you measure and visualize something that is physically imperceptible?
That is a very good question, because it is easy for us humans to be able to control what we can see. So, for instance, to protect the border of a nation is border control at the airport or at a nation's physical borders. And the cyberspace is much more difficult to capture. The question is, would a German bank in Germany with a branch in a foreign country, let's say on the African continent, would that bank on the African continent still be part of this German cyberspace or not? So in the cyberspace, the traditional view of borders might not apply anymore. And so it is important for a nation to be able to capture that cyberspace. We do this by providing data points, but our tool, PsyOps, also has the capabilities to show the cyberspace. So we are using, for instance, the actual geographical map of a country, and we show where most IT infrastructure is based, where vulnerabilities are. And so by providing a user interface that visualizes this huge data set, we allow governments, critical infrastructure providers, to be able to capture that cyberspace and to define what shall be done to protect the cyber posture of the organization, of the nation.
Great. And you mentioned something before we started with that recording right now. What is your biggest, or what is your expectation about this conference? Because a lot of people are coming together. A lot of international people are here from different backgrounds. Well, all they have in common is just the big topic, shaping cyber resilience, of course. What is your, what do you expect just for the next days?
Well, first of all, it's absolutely amazing. We apparently have over 2,000 delegates, and that is just amazing. It's the fifth time we run the Swiss Cybersecurity Days. This year, for the first time in Bern, the capital of Switzerland. And our contribution really should foster debate. So our contribution's goal is, by measuring the Swiss cyberspace, is to provide data points which will trigger debate. And debate is required both at a political level in terms of what do we do to protect the nation, and should we implement laws, regulations that will challenge company owners, but also government entities to do more to protect data and critical infrastructure. But we also hope that schools and educators will take advantage of that to use that report, which we published, 50 pages, to educate students. And finally, we hope that our message also has come to company owners and board members, as the responsibility for cybersecurity is not something you can have external IT providers do for you. So it's not an outsourcing task, it's a strategic responsibility, cybersecurity, because it is about business continuity and to reduce potential reputational and financial damages to the firm.
Mm-hmm. Just talking a little more on a general level, what do you think we should focus in 2024 on the cybersecurity environments?
That's a very good question, because in the past, for the Swiss Cybersecurity Days, we reviewed the state of all attacks that happened in the previous 12 months. Mm-hmm. And this year, 2024, for the first time, we believe that this is not possible, because 23 was a year full of cyber attacks. So I think the topic, everyone is now well aware that it is a topic. And so for 24, I hope that we start with more concrete planning. If we look at the cybersecurity strategies of associations in Switzerland, of the Swiss government, it is still fairly vague. It still describes that we should have roles, responsibilities, creating new departments, but there aren't a lot of concrete actions on what is being done. And I think 24 is the year where board members, politicians finally should define concrete actions that hopefully start to be implemented end of 24, beginning of 25. And so 24 marks the year of an action plan.
This format over here, this talk, is especially also for the ones who are not here in presence. So I would like to ask you if there is something that you would like to share with the listeners. Is there an impulse you would like to give them outside?
Absolutely. So there is, first of all, a call to all students in Switzerland and in neighboring countries to join the Swiss Cybersecurity Days next year, because there are special student offers all the way up to free entrance to participate and trigger that debate. And secondly, the atmosphere here in Bern is amazing. We have delegates from NATO, from FBI, from various countries across the world sharing their cybersecurity best practice, and to experience that, but also to take advantage of the learnings in order to, well, challenge your own views of what you do for cybersecurity is worthwhile. And therefore, I warmly invite everyone to participate, but also to listen to these podcasts, so everyone has a chance to gain knowledge.
Great. Thank you very much, Mark, just for sharing your insights with us. And I love that you invited especially the younger generation. It's the next gen is now.
That's right.
And I think we need all players who are in that market.
Absolutely.
And as much as debate is ongoing, as much people are just sharing their thoughts, the more we can develop together.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much. From telecommunications to GPS and providing accessible internet connections to billions of people around the world are critical to how we function as a modern society. But just because they're in orbit doesn't mean satellites are safe from attack. The former science director of the American Space Agency, NASA, and the current head of ETH Space, Professor Dr. Thomas Zurbuchen, takes us on a journey to the stars.
So first, thank you for having us. I'm Joel Mazo. I'm the president of ETH Zurich, and I'm a physicist by training.
I too am a physicist, so you have two physicists ahead of you. I'm Thomas Zurbuchen, also at ETH Zurich, and just joined last year.
Thomas was the former head of science at NASA, so we are very happy to have him.
I'm also very happy to have him because you took us a little bit to the stars today. And related to that, I would love to ask you the question, how safe are satellites from attacks from cyberspace actually? And how can you protect them?
Building a satellite is building a system that's in a very dangerous environment in general. And that has to do with the space radiation around it. That's natural type of impact. It also has to do with dangers that come from other spacecraft, especially in areas of space where it's clocked. A lot of systems are. And increasingly, and only in the last 10, 15 years, it's cyberspace that is attacks that are really critical. So how safe are they? As safe as they can be. Many of the older satellites, of course, were built under a paradigm where cyber security was not a big issue. So those satellites are more open than we would like today. Newer systems, all of them, are designed having cybersecurity in mind. You do not develop a spacecraft today without really thinking of cybersecurity as a critical part of, in fact, cyber areas being there as a threat, together with all the natural and human-made threats.
And just from your very specific point of view, I know that cybersecurity is a very wide and very complex field, and we have a lot of different players around here also on the conference. But from your personal point of view, what would you think should be the focus or one of the major topics we should concentrate in 2024 regarding cybersecurity environment?
What's special about cybersecurity is that it is evolving rapidly. And I think the emerging field that is really, frankly, affecting all of us in all domains, including in space, has to do with the emergence of language models, artificial intelligence, and really spoofing that happens as a result of it, and also other threats, the likes of which will be invented between now and next year. So in 2024, I would really focus on what are the next types of threats. And frankly, there will be, there are now.
And looking also a little bit ahead, what do you think? Why should we attend next year again on the Swiss Cybersecurity Days 2025? Why should we meet face to face?
So, a university has a very important role to play because we are at the forefront, especially top universities like ETH Zurich, of research. And so we are the place where we can train the people, that's point number one, to be ready to develop the latest technologies. We are the place where we do research, we combine teaching and research, and we are the place where we develop startups that provide these new technologies. And now what I observe is this acceleration, especially in the field of the digital transformation, including cybersecurity. And what worries me is the speed at which the politics realizes what's happening. And there is like a huge disconnect. And when the regulation will come, it will be already outdated. So I would focus on a dialogue between industry, specialists, and politics to make them aware that we need to act fast.
At the end, I would love to ask you this kind of curious question. We're on the second day on the Cybersecurity Days 2024 right now. What was your yesterday's highlight?
It was the meeting I had with students, and it was just amazing to see how this young generation that is under huge pressure is actually finding solutions, is dynamical, organizing itself. That was such a wow moment for me.
Do you have also a highlight which you can share with us?
I think for me, I actually align with what you just said. The person that I really appreciated meeting is this young student from Chile who came here and with her father, and you know, is totally enthusiastic about cyber, quantum, and everything in between. And I think it's that what gives us hope in the future, both the international connection of those students and through educational organizations like ETH, kind of bring them together and equipping them for both the opportunities and the challenges ahead of us.
Great. Thank you very much to both of you. Thank you for sharing some thoughts, some insights with us. And yeah, see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome here in our podcast lounge at the Swiss Cybersecurity Days. I'm very happy to have a very special guest in front of me, just also coming from Germany, Dr. Sebastian Kluss, Head of Consumer Technology, AR, VR, and Metaverse at Bitkom. And yeah, he had a very impressive talk together with Fabian Vicky, who is lecturer for digital branding at the University of Applied Science, Northwestern Switzerland, the HNY, and owner of Gestalt und Kommunikation. And yeah, a warm welcome. Happy to have you here.
Great to be here.
Sebastian, before we start to dig a little deeper, could you please introduce yourself?
Well, I'm head of AR, VR and Metaverse at the German Digital Association, Bitkom. And I like the idea of the Metaverse, the idea of having a 3D internet, a space where we can interact with people, with computers, with machines. So that's an exciting future of the internet, I think. And so I like it very much.
Yes, the Metaverse. If this, when this keyword popped up the first time in my life, let's call it, it was 10 years ago or something, I was Meta what? Mm-hmm. And I was super curious to find out just a little more about this massively scaled and interoperable network of real-time rendered 3D virtual worlds. So it was something unbelievable 10 years ago. The first people started working on that. My grandma put it on the nose, I would say. You know, it was the same as if just today or 40 years ago, I've never thought about just managing my bank account via my mobile phone. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the right picture for that. So it's a second world aside our real world. It's the same with the World Wide Web anyway. So no one could never imagine what this is before just using it, right? So it's real. The Metaverse, designed to conquer the world, actually. The hype of surrounding Metaverse seems to have already come to an end. But or is the technology now finally ready to prove itself as a viable, it's called viable technology for the future? What do you think?
We have the basic technology. We do not have the Metaverse yet. That's still a vision which will become true maybe in 5 or 10 years' time. But we have the basic technologies. We have AR, VR. We have VR glasses, for example. We have cloud computing. We have AI, actually, which are all pieces of creating this large picture metaverse. So these technologies are ready right now. And we have first use cases in the entertainment world, of course, but also in the business world. We have, especially in the gaming industry, large virtual worlds, actually, games where people, younger people especially, come together, meet friends, have activities together, create things, actually. And that's one basis of the idea of the metaverse. On the other hand, we have AR, VR training in companies. We have tools to collaborate in companies, in VR, in AR, or to create new products in these environments. So these are all tools and pieces of the larger picture metaverse, which we have right now and which will develop to the metaverse. And it's a bit like the internet in the early 2000s. So we had browsers, we had PCs, and we had an idea of the internet. But I think most people hadn't the idea that we would have the internet in our pockets with our smartphones, that we do everything in our life, in our private life, in our business life via the internet. And it's a bit the same right now with the metaverse. We have the technology and we have first ideas what to do with it in future, but how it will develop, time will show.
Yeah, time will show. This is a good point. I will step again back a little bit just about why that triggered me so much. That thing is about I'm in the real estate and construction industry, so that's my origin. And this was the first time I thought it could be real just to buy real estate projects and walking through that, it feels so natural, much more than those 3D visualization which you have in software, much more. And it's almost real world, actually. And then everyone who had been on an event and ever used a VR glasses just to walk through something could somehow get a little first feeling how it could feel to be in that metaverse surrounding, in that environment. But as every environment, the physical real world, like your house, you have to save, it's also an environment you have to make safe from threats, attacks, etc. And I think this is one of the points where you're deeper digging in that community, right? And looking at the status quo, let's call it like that. What, from your opinion, is the major topic to focus on?
Ren, regarding security, I think it's more or less the internet in 3D. So all security questions we have in today's internet are relevant for a metaverse or for virtual worlds in future as well. So we have to make them secure. We have to be aware which threats there actually are. And on top of that, there are some special issues or special challenges, for example. If you look at VR glasses, for example, or AR glasses in future, they can only work if they have an idea what your surrounding looks like. So they have to scan your room, for example, and they, of course, produce this kind of data, which is very private. And they also track sometimes your eye movements, your movements of the body, of your hands. And all this can give information about you, if you are ill, how tall you are, and things like that. So these are new kinds of data that are created via this web headsets, for example, and very private and very, very sensitive data, which must be protected in future.
Looking back at the last 2 days, is there a special highlight you can share with the community outside? Is there a certain learning or a moment you would like to share?
What I think is very important for the metaverse as well is the idea of having a secure identity in virtual worlds. And I've seen some keynotes and some solutions for exactly having that. Not only your physical ID card that you have today to identify yourself, but digital solutions that are secure. And if you move in a virtual world or in a augmented reality world where you are in the real world and have virtual elements in that as well, it's very important to have these secure identities. If you meet someone as an avatar, you do not know who this is. If that's really the person you would like to meet, which you would like to give your identity, where you would like to buy something. And to have these secure identities in virtual worlds, in these 3D worlds, will be very important. And I've seen interesting things and interesting examples from other countries, actually, on these last 2 days that are very helpful for the metaverse as well.
Great, thank you. One final question for you, and then I'll let you step back into the conference. It's why should we attend in person, face to face, next year on the Swiss Cybersecurity Days 2025?
Well, it's a great place to meet other people that are interested in the same topic, to meet companies that have thrilling solutions exactly for this topic, and because the metaverse won't be there next year, because maybe in 10 or 15 year times we will have this in a virtual world or in an augmented reality world, but I think next year it will be the place to be again.
Great, thank you very much of sharing your thoughts and your view on things on the one hand, and your time. hope to see you back next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to everyone listening out there, if you liked it, we would be happy if you follow us. Feel free to share our podcast in your network and on social media. Thanks for listening, and see you at Bern Expo at the Swiss Cybersecurity Days 2025.